Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
A few years ago, I was at a conference and another minister was speaking, and he was telling us about a difficult circumstance in his life. And what had happened is him and his wife, they had a five-year-old daughter, and the daughter wasn't doing very well. She wasn't feeling very well. And so they took her to the doctor and took her to the hospital, and they ran some tests, and it turned out that she had cancer. And so as they struggled with that, as you can imagine, any family that finds out that their five-year-old daughter has cancer isn't in a very good place. But this family, they began to pray. And every day they would gather around their daughter and they would pray for her. And pray for her. And you know, as the years went on, for you know, first year and then second year of them just gathering around her and praying consistently, persistently, they began to draw closer together as a family and closer together to God. And they learned a lot. But then as he shared his experience, he said, around the time that she turned 7 years old, she took a turn for the worst. And so they continued praying for her, but eventually she passed away. And so they entered this place where they had to figure out what was going on. They truly believed that God had been working in the situation. They truly believed that they had actually accomplished something through their prayer. But they came to this place where they had to wrestle with the fact that even though they had prayed, even though they had been praying for this innocent little child to be healed of cancer, God had allowed her to die. And they had to ask themselves, why? Why, Lord? Why, when we're praying like this, why would you allow a seven-year-old little girl to die of cancer? And truly, any of us going through that situation would be wondering to ourselves, why, Lord? I mean, you might be down on your knees and you might be yelling at him and cursing him because of the emotions going through you. But as this minister stood up there sharing his story, and fighting back tears, he told us that he still felt like it was worthwhile to have prayed. He felt like God was at work in the situation and that he had been answering their prayers. And he actually noted that as they had prayed, as they had been obedient to God's command to pray for those who are unwell, that they'd learned an important lesson. And the lesson was that happiness and joy are two separate things. And that as you're faithful in prayer, yes, you may not be happy with the results, but you can be joyful that God was present in the situation. But that doesn't really make it that much easier. You know, as I sat there and I'm thinking about it, and of course, any time if you have young children and someone starts telling you stories about their young child battling cancer and then passing away, it hits home with you. And I remember just thinking to myself, like, what would my reaction be? How would I feel about that? Could I actually go, you know what, I'm glad that we prayed, and while the situation sucks, I know that God was there. Would I do that? On the flip side, I can think of circumstances in my own life where I've prayed, where I've diligently prayed for something so important to myself, and it seemed like it wasn't answered. Things didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to. And anybody here that's prayed on any kind of regular basis, you know what this is like. Maybe you've had circumstances where God really works and it seems like he's just answered this prayer in a miraculous way. But then on the flip side, sometimes there's these inexplicable situations where you pray for something you believe is so important, so worthwhile, and it doesn't happen. How do we explain that? I mean, what's the point of prayer if it seems like it only sometimes works, right? What's the point? Why would we do these things? And yet, as people who follow Jesus, we believe it's important to still pray. I know for myself, despite disappointments that I've had in my past, I still pray. And in fact, I've seen God work in miraculous ways. I've told you guys about some of those things in the past, about seeing somebody, praying for someone with one leg shorter than the other, and the leg, as I'm holding onto it, growing, which is really creepy, in case you're wondering. Or having a guy that's like limping and can barely get to the group of us that were there, and he's got this cane, and we pray for him, and next thing we know, he's sitting there running around the public square with his cane held above his head because he no longer has pain in the area he used to have pain. God does miracles. He does amazing things, but then there are these times when it seems like he doesn't. Today, as we look at the basic practices of faith, at these powerful routines that we can integrate into our lives, last week we talked about reading the Bible, and today, as we look at the powerful routine of prayer, we're going to have to wrestle with things like this. Because you have to wonder, does it change the approach that you take to prayer based on your experience of God answering or feeling like he hasn't answered your prayer? Is prayer something actually worthwhile? Is it actually a powerful routine if you've found that you've had more disappointment in your prayer life than success? Prayer is something that God has been laying on my heart more and more. You may remember last year we had a lot of messages on prayer. And believe me, it wasn't in my plan. I tend to do a rough outline of what the year is going to look like at the beginning of the year. And there just kept on being these weeks where I would go and I'd be preparing a message, and next thing I'd know, it would be like, I got to preach on prayer. I got to speak on this. And I know the importance of prayer. And I hope you know the importance of prayer. And yet we're still left with this question. Why does it seem like so many of our prayers are left unanswered? Why does it seem that way? And so the powerful routine of praying and not giving up is what I invite you to explore with me for the next few minutes this morning. And I understand that for some people here today, this may hit too close to home for you. It may feel almost painful. It may resonate with your own experience, or you may be like these people praying. And wherever you're at in life, I just encourage you, will you just put your doubts, put your feelings on hold for just the next 17 minutes or so. And just allow yourself to hear what maybe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you today. And on that note, why don't we start off this message about prayer with a little bit of prayer. So will you join me in bowing your heads and closing your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to enter into the Bible, to enter into this message that you have left for us. And Lord, as we look at prayer, this thing that at times is confusing, at times is frustrating, and yet at times is so uplifting. Lord, will you just enlighten our hearts? Will you teach us, Lord? Will you help us to take all the preconceived notions that we have and just to set them aside for a little while and really examine what is said here today, Lord? And God, will you take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles here today, you can turn to Luke chapter 18. Or if you have a mobile device here and you'd like to follow along with this message on that and take your own notes, you can go to ascc.life in your mobile browser and tap on the message notes tile and you'll find all of that here. If you don't want to do either of those things, we'll also have it all on the screen behind us. And so you can just go ahead and follow along that way too. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I'm realizing that I wanted to read it out of a different translation than the one I have here, so I'm going to read it off the screen there, guys. This is what he says. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. And then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? What an interesting story, right? Jesus is like, here's an example of why you should pray and never give up. And then he tells a story about just this corrupt official and about this good thing that the corrupt official ends up doing. But here's the thing that I actually find really interesting about this passage. It's the irony. You have the unjust judge. Literally, if you look at the original language, this is the judge of injustice. And yet, through this lady's constant hounding him, saying, give me justice in this dispute that I have, she actually convinces the judge of injustice to go against his very character, to go against his very nature and provide justice because he's so annoyed. I mean, maybe you've been there. If you have kids, like, you know what this is like, right? You're like, I don't want to give you this piece of candy, but kid, talk to me one more time. Just, fine, here you go. This is the better of the two options, right? And so this judge goes against his very character because of the widow's persistence. And if you stopped there, you might be like, what is the point of this? Is Jesus trying to say that God is some miserly guy up in heaven who doesn't want to listen to anything that we say until we hound him to death? But there's a key phrase here in the text, and it's this: how much more? If the unjust judge went against his very nature to give justice to this woman who kept on coming to him with her request for justice, how much more would God, whose very nature is defined by justice and love, who at his core desires to give good things to his children, how much more will he give justice? What I take away from this passage, the big thing, the bottom line of what I take away is this: God desires persistently praying people. God desires persistently praying people. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to pray and never give up. That's what Jesus said. He told his followers this thing because he wanted them to learn to pray and never give up. And so Luke gives us this definition, this explanation of this parable ahead of time and tells us it's in general about prayer. But then as we go along, we see that Jesus really focuses in on the idea of justice, of getting justice in these prayers. But before we get to that, here's the interesting thing that I find, okay? God desires persistently praying people. Prayer is communication between us and our Creator, right? Like, if you're someone that says, I follow Jesus, I believe in God, then it kind of makes sense that if you have an opportunity to pray to God, to talk to him, talk to the one that created you, talk to the one who saved you through son's death and resurrection, you would think that we'd do it. Right? It just makes sense. Why wouldn't you use this great gift? I mean, it's not like it really costs that much to pray. You know, we don't live in the day and age where you had to bring some kind of offering to the altar in order to be able to pray or anything like that. Like, you can literally be driving the car, keeping your eyes open on the road, and be talking to God as you drive. You can't. And unlike the unjust judge, God does not give in because he's sick of us. But he gives us what he knows we need according to his plan. Because you see, he's the loving father with just the right timing and a desire to give justice to those who need it. And so you would think that if you have an open line of communication to God and if he has your best interests at heart, that you would really want to pray a lot. Yet chances are you don't pray as much as you could. There's a story that I'm actually told is true of this Welsh woman who lived in this remote valley in her country. And she had heard about the wonders of electricity. And so she went to the electrical company, and at great expense and great time and effort to herself and her family, she asked the electrical company to actually bring electricity out to her own home. And so they did that, and it took a while, and they installed all of this stuff. And one day, as the electrical company, a number of months later, was looking over some of their bills and some of their records, they noticed that there was almost no electrical consumption in this house. And they became somewhat confused and somewhat concerned, and were a little bit worried that maybe something was actually wrong, and this elderly lady just hadn't actually dealt with it, hadn't called them. And so they sent a meter guy out, and he checked the meter and kind of scratched his head going, no, the usage is really, really low. So he went over and he knocked on her door. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm just wondering, is everything okay with your electricity? Because we're noticing that you're barely using any. And oh, I love the electricity. It is the most amazing thing ever. You know, every night when it gets dark, we turn on the lights, and then we light our lamps, and we turn them off again. It's so wonderful to see the lamps as we light them. You know, you have to wonder, why this woman who went to all that work to bring electricity into her home wouldn't use it more, right? Like, she believes in electricity. She's seen it work. She believes the promises of the electric company when they told her about what electricity does. And she went to this great deal of trouble and expense to install this stuff. The problem is that she didn't understand the potential of electricity in her home, and so she used it sparingly. Many of you see prayer the same way. You believe in prayer. You know the promises that God has made, and you've read and you've heard stories about people having their prayers answered, but you only pray sparingly. And maybe it's because of a situation that happened in your life once. Maybe you prayed really hard for something and it didn't happen. Or maybe it is that you just find that it's not the top of your list of things to do. And yet God desires persistently praying people. Jesus told the parable of the persistent woman so that his followers would know to always pray and never give up. And yet how many of us have actually on a regular basis prayed and not given up for the things that we've prayed for? Maybe it's a matter of our expectations. You know, maybe we approach God in prayer and we're like, you know, yeah, we'll throw up a prayer up there and maybe he'll answer it, maybe he won't. And so if I just pray a couple times, it'll be fine. You know, or we see that things aren't quite turning out the way that we want, and we're like, well, I don't want to bother God with this anymore. He's obviously not answering my prayer. But here's the thing. God promises to answer persistent prayers justly, but according to his greater justice and according to his timing. See, Jesus says that God will give justice quickly. But what we have to realize is then later on in that same section there, he says, and when the Son of Man comes, will people still have faith? And so he's like, he's going to bring justice to you quickly. But at the latest, it's going to be when Jesus comes back. What's he talking about there? What he's saying is that God does work as quickly as he needs to, but that it often feels longer to us than it truly is in the scope of eternity. In the book of Peter, we're told that 1,000 years is like a day to God. Because God is outside of time. He doesn't follow time in a linear fashion like we do, but he stands beyond it as the one who created it. And to him, he can see how everything unfolds. And what seems like a horrible situation, what seems like something that's taking so long for us, we're told that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And so we want quick. But God doesn't work quickly like we think that he does. He works quickly in the way that it's exactly how long it needs to be. Also notice that Jesus specifically mentions justice here. We're supposed to pray and never give up generally, but we're told specifically that it is a prayer for justice that God is answering here. Now, does that mean that he's not going to answer your prayers? I believe that God answers all prayers. But what it does mean is that justice is the one that we're specifically told he will answer. You will get justice. It's interesting. God always answers your prayers, but having your prayers answered doesn't necessarily mean what we like to think about it, right? When somebody says, oh, God answered my prayer, they tend to mean God did what I asked him to do, right? But let's put ourselves in the shoes of a child talking to their father, okay? If you go to your father and you say, hey, Dad, I would like this candy, because every child ever talks in that polite of a way, you know, can I please have this candy? Can I please have, you know, a car? Whatever it may be. As your father looks at you and he analyzes the situation out of his experience, out of what he wants to teach you and what he knows is good for you, what's he going to say? Maybe he says yes. But maybe he says, well, no, it's too close to dinner. Or no, I'm not giving you a car. You need to work for it and buy it yourself. Or maybe he says, you know what? You need to wait for a bit. And we'll see how it goes in the future. Or you're not ready for that yet. You're only 12. You don't need a car yet. What's your problem? You know, just take a second. Now, I know that for some of us, as we think about ourselves as children, we don't really like it. You know, you say, I've been on this earth for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. How dare you, you know, compare me to a child? But in the grand scheme of things, the God who created you, we're told when you come to him, you're adopted as his child. We are his children, complete with temper tantrums in the middle of the mall and all. We're his children. And there he is. Despite our selfishness, despite our smallness, he still loves us more than we can even comprehend. But that doesn't necessarily make it that much easier when he says no, does it? Doesn't make it that much easier when we have to wait. Or when the circumstances don't make sense and we say, God, why did you take that 7-year-old girl when her family was praying so consistently and so diligently for 2 whole years. See, if you truly trust the God who's willing to send his son to die for you, then we still have to come to him in prayer. And even in these difficult moments when we can't understand, and nobody wants this answer, but here's the thing, you have to trust him. And I know some of you are like, so trust him not to answer my prayers? What? What's going on? Pastor Stephen, if that's what you're talking about with prayer, then how can it be a powerful routine? What's the point? If in the moment of my life where I feel like I need God the most, I bring him a reasonable request, take the cancer away, and he says no. And yet I truly believe that praying is still an important and powerful routine, whether things turn out the way that we want or not. First of all, God desires persistently praying people. If you are here today and you believe that God is God, and you believe what we read all throughout the Bible, that God wants his people to pray, to talk to him, then that's the first reason that we need to pray, because if you love God and God wants something, doesn't it make sense that the desire of your heart should be to give him what he wants? I also believe that praying is an important and powerful routine because praying affects your relationship with God. How many of you are married or have been married here? right? Do you guys talk? Right, do you talk to each other? See, I'm not sure if people are talking because they're like, no, we don't, or if they're like, oh, we talk. Yes, we do. Right? But in a relationship, you got to talk. You got to communicate. Because if you just ignore one another, if you're like, yeah, we said our vows and now we're done, you know, we share a bed, but that's about all we do, things probably aren't going to last that long. You know, you're going to be living with a stranger. And so here's my thing. Praying affects your relationship with God, because if you're not talking to God, you're not drawing closer to him. But if you're talking to him and if you're saying, God, these are the things that I want, and God, will you affect my life and will you change me and will you make me into who you want me to be? And God, I'm sorry for this thing. And God, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for all that you've done. You're going to grow closer to him. You'll have seasons in your life where you're like, where is he? But you're also going to have these times where you're just like, I am closer to God right now than I've ever been. Praying is important and powerful because God desires persistently praying people, because praying affects your relationship with God, and because God does act with your prayers in mind. Okay, he does. Yes, he's got an overarching plan, and yes, you know, sometimes the answer is no or the answer is wait, but sometimes he acts with your prayers in mind. He does something because of what you've asked. God was going to wipe out the people of Israel after they made the golden calf to worship because Moses had been away too long. God's like, Moses, I'm going to wipe these people out. They're so frustrating. Like, you were only away for 40 days and now they've decided I'm not good enough. And Moses goes, no, God, please don't. Please don't start over with me, God. And God said, okay. Abraham had a nephew living in Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angel of the Lord came and said, hey, Abraham, just so you know, we're going to wipe this city out. Abraham said, but Lord, what if there's 100 righteous people in the city? He said, for the sake of 100 people, I'll spare the city. What if there's 50 righteous people? He said, for the sake of 50 righteous people, I'll spare it. What if there's 10? He said, I'll spare it. He was listening to Abraham's prayer. And I wonder quite often what would have happened if Abraham had lowered the number to 5, the number of people there actually were who were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. But God kept his promise and he actually pulled Lot out, Lot and his family, before enacting what he wanted to do. And throughout life, there are so many people that have come before God with their requests, and God has done miraculous things in response to their prayers. And so God does act with our prayers in mind, just like a father will act when his child comes to him with a request, whether it's to say yes, no, or later. So I believe that prayer is still an important and powerful routine because God desires persistently praying people. Praying affects your relationship with God. God does act with your prayers in mind. And finally, because prayer is the outward manifestation of a vibrant faith. Notice that Jesus is talking about persisting in prayer. And then he says, but when the Son of Man returns, who will he find who has faith? Because people who have faith in God, that God can do what he has promised to do, that God acts, that God is a God of justice, they're not going to ignore prayer. If you trust in someone, you're going to ask them to help you. If you trust in someone, you're going to see the value in prayer. And so, friends, if prayer is something that you think about doing and you go, what's the point? Or if prayer is something that you think about doing and you're like, oh, it's so much work, I encourage you to reconsider what prayer is and to understand that if you truly trust God and his promises to you, that prayer is worthwhile and it's something you should do. And so we're left with this question: is prayer actually something that you should do? Does God actually answer your prayers? What do we do with the 7-year-old girl who dies of cancer despite our prayers? And the answer to that one is, I don't know. I don't know. But I do think that it's worthwhile to bring our prayers to God. Will we get everything? No. However, the fact remains that faithful people that trust God can know that God hears their prayers. And they can understand that God desires persistently praying people. And they can understand that their prayers move the heart of God and that he responds to our persistent prayers. And as far as routines go, prayer is a powerful one because it truly is you expressing your heart to God. I remember in high school, some of you have heard this story before. I used to play baseball, and I was decent, and it's not me saying that just because I think so. There were coaches in the city that I lived who had formerly, one of them actually been a scout for the Braves, one of their farm teams, and he was coming to my games and taking an interest in me. But as I was in high school, I wanted to make sure that I was walking the path that God had for me. And so I prayed, God, will you just keep me on the right path? And will you just take away distractions that are going to lead me away from what you want me to do? And I prayed that prayer regularly, persistently, really. And then I remember there was this one game, a night game, beginning of a new season the year after I'd been praying this prayer. And I got up and I began to pitch probably the best game that I've ever pitched. And then the next day, I threw a little bit of batting practice with my team and tore my rotator cuff. And you kind of look back at that and you say, why? You know, God, when I was praying that you would remove distractions, when I was praying that you would keep me on the right path, I didn't quite mean bodily harm. And yet, when I think about it now, through the disappointment, through the upset, through the fact that when I watch others play baseball, I go, man, I wish I could be out there right now. I also think of what my life would have been like if I'd been able to follow through on that, and I realize that it is so much better now, and that I wouldn't trade anything that I have now to be able to get that. I'm glad that I prayed that prayer every night. For me, the fact that Jesus wants me to pray, that prayer can draw me closer to him, that God answers prayer, and that prayer is a sign that I genuinely trust in Jesus have solidified my resolve to be a person who does his best to enact this powerful routine of praying persistently until God makes it absolutely clear that he is no longer needing me to pray for that thing. Because God desires persistently praying people. Even when we don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we look at the outcome and we say, that's not what I prayed for. God desires persistently praying people. And my challenge to you this week is this: never give up on bringing your needs to God in prayer. Never give up.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ,
as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.